Of course, that's the Exodus movement of the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And many times, just because of his towering personality and his strength, we tend to focus on Moses. Moses living out God's purpose of Exodus for God's people. And Moses is definitely the central character. But there are others who accompany him in living out this God-sized purpose for the Hebrew people. There's his brother Aaron. As many of you know Aaron, and Aaron, being the brother of Moses, helps fulfill this purpose that God has for his people, that Aaron becomes the first high priest of Israel, and he also becomes the one who's charged with overseeing the tabernacle. And there are many times where Aaron's faith and Aaron's trust in God is he's Moses' right-hand guy to accomplish this wonderful God-sized purpose that they're given. There's their sister Miriam, who sings in the video. And Miriam is a part of living out this God-sized purpose as she, too, has a deep trust in God. Miriam is the sister who, when Pharaoh and his chariots and his army are stuck in the Sea of Reeds and they're swept over and victory now is clear for Israel, Miriam is the one who, on the top, overlooking the scene, she leads the women in a celebration. It says she takes a tambourine and she leads in a celebration of song and dance, that Miriam is the leader at that time for this nation, and she leads them in celebration. Miriam's song that she gives at that time, it's one of the oldest biblical writings that we have. Her song that she sings is, "Sing to Yahweh, who has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea." That her influence right there at that moment, that's the first time that we have on record a psalm that thanks is given to God and that follows singing and dancing. Miriam becomes key to the book of Psalms. Even David, King David's own daughter, when King David would come back from victorious battles, his daughter Jephthah would lead the people, would lead the women in singing with tambourine and would lead them and dance to celebrate King David's victories. Miriam, the fact that she is at this scene, the fact that she participates in it, the fact that her song is recorded at the exodus of the people, this is significant. Miriam is a key to this purpose of God's people being exited out of Egypt. And I thought about this, and I was studying this about, here you have this triumvirate of trust. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Two brothers and a sister who has such deep trust in God that they're able to live out this God-sized purpose and for their lives. And as I thought about that, I thought about their mother. Who was the mother of these two sons and this daughter? I mean, how could they possibly have shared such a deep trust in God to live out a purpose like this? And it took me to their mother. Her name is Jochebed. And I think that Jochebed is one of the unsung heroes. I like to use the word sheroes of the Bible. She's little recognized. We don't usually teach on Jochebed. You don't usually hear about Jochebed. Commonly, we talk about Moses. And sometimes we talk about Aaron. And at other times, we talk about Miriam. But what about their mother? Who was she? She must have had a significant role in their lives. What about her faith? And as you go to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers gives us a little introduction to Jochebed, this great mother. Numbers 26, it says, "The name of Aaron's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi. He was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam." And two biblical books recognize her as the mother of Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, too. And other than what I just read, she is given very little mention after that scripture right there. You do not come across Jochebed's name very often. And there's very, very little information given about her. And yet she is the mother of these three significant people. It reminded me of American history a little bit. And some of you have heard of the name Abigail Adams. As a matter of fact, Abigail Adams is one of only a dozen women who's recognized with a postal stamp. And Abigail Adams, in the year 1776, while her husband, a congressman, was in Philadelphia signing the Constitution, she wrote him a letter. And in that letter, she said this to her husband: "If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to form a rebellion." That's a good letter to receive from your wife. "And we will not hold ourselves bound to any laws in which we have no voice or representation." You see, Abigail Adams would go on in that letter to write and to share with her husband that she shared a conviction, and her conviction is that rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. In 1834, a few years after that, John Quincy Adams became the first congressman to argue for women's rights and to take part in public affairs. And Abigail Adams has the distinction of being the only woman to be the wife of a president of the United States and the mother of a president of the United States. John Quincy Adams would go on to say that it was his mother's letters that he would read later in life that would form and shape much of his convictions, much of his passion for the equality of others, both women and slaves at the time. And so that brings me back to the mother Jochebed. Jochebed, what do we know about her? What we know about Jochebed is this, is that she defies Pharaoh's edict. She does not throw her son into the Nile River, but she places him in the Nile River in a basket, in a carefully made basket. We know that also that be with her work with Miriam, that she's able to both nurture and nurse her son in the midst of a royal palace. And we know this, that ancient cultures would allow nursing to take place much longer than we. So she would have had a more extended time with Moses than what we're familiar with. And she would have nursed him for quite a while. And while she was nursing him, she would have given him quite a few history lessons. She would have talked to him extensively about being the father of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. She would have passed down to him orally the stories of the Hebrew people. She would have made sure that her son would have known that someday God would bring about a deliverer, and that someday somebody would live out this purpose of freeing the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. Surely this mother would have held this boy in a royal palace, and she would have thought as she was holding him, and then as she grew up with him there in the royal palace, she would have thought, she had to have prayed that surely, possibly, maybe, but why not, couldn't her son one day be the deliverer, the person that would lead the Hebrews out of Egypt? So surely there, as she was with her son, Jochebed, a woman of deep faith and deep trust in God, would have placed her hand upon her son's head and would have given that prayer: "Please, God, please, let it be him. Let it be Moses." It's thinking about the faith of mothers and how the faith of mothers has shaped history and times. You can't help but know Helena. Many of you are familiar with Helena. Helena was a devout Christian in the 3rd century. Devout. She was so devout to the Christian faith that her husband divorced her. And when he divorced her, she took upon herself the care and the education of her son at the time. Her son was Constantine. And Constantine would have been held on his mother's laps. And no doubt about it, Constantine would have heard all the stories of Jesus. Helena was passionate about Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when her husband divorced her in a time that would have crushed most women would have lost, it was said that Helena was fine because she said, "I'm married to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I give my whole life to him. I'm vowed to him. It's okay. It's Jesus Christ that I love." If you go to the Holy Lands today and you do tours of the Holy Lands, many times they'll give credit to Helena for saying that she was the one who made sure that places in Palestine where Jesus was at or where Jesus did ministry, that those places were protected or preserved or something was built to commemorate that so that nothing that Jesus did would be lost. She was passionate about Jesus. And she shared that love with her son. And then one day, her son goes into battle, and he's not so passionate about Jesus. He doesn't profess faith in Jesus. But as he's about to lead many men into a very key battle, he has a personal experience with Jesus. And he is sure in his heart that Jesus has just spoken to him. He's just had a vision of Jesus. And he gives his life to Christ. And when he becomes emperor, when he wins that battle is key to him becoming emperor of Rome. And when he becomes emperor of Rome, he begins to institute the value. He begins to acknowledge the Christian faith. And because of Constantine doing that, Christianity begins to spread. But none of that would have occurred without his mother, Helena. Helena, Jochebed, Abigail, women, mothers who trusted in God. And because they trusted in God, they and their children lived out God-sized purposes. Going back to that statement that the Father shared with me last Sunday when he said, Chad, I need to trust God. And then he said this, my family needs for me to trust God. My family needs for me to trust God. I would say this, each of us needs to trust God for ourselves, for our families, and for the sake of others. We have to start trusting God as fully as we possibly can, and so that we can receive his purposes for our lives and we can start living out these God-sized purposes. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, what we started service with, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Imagine is a series that's based on the truth that we cannot even begin to imagine what we will begin experiencing in our lives as we fully trust God. I'll ask you to stand with me at this time as we close our service. Next week, we're going to be talking about, as we continue to trust in God and receive this hope and be relieved of anxieties, as we continue to trust in God and to receive his God-sized purposes, next week we're going to talk about how when we trust in God, he begins to direct our paths, and we begin to see ourselves going in directions we never could have imagined, going places and doing things we could have never imagined, but that becomes possible. That becomes our reality. That becomes how God works in our lives when we fully trust him. Dear Father, we come to you today so thankful for the faith, for the deep trust that mothers have placed in you, and because they've placed their trust in you, how it has spilled over upon us, how it has formed us, and how it has nurtured us. Thank you. Thank you for mothers. And now, honoring them and the spirit of which mothers have lived out your purposes and your ways for thousands of years, so we go forward today also wanting to be those who live out your purposes, because we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.